Kay Strom tells the story from some years back when she was teaching third grade. One morning, all the teachers were called to the teacher's lounge for an emergency meeting, so they hurried over, leaving their classes unsupervised, something that would never happen these days. Everyone was anxious about leaving their students, but none as much as Mrs. Whiting, because her class of first graders was especially mischievous and rowdy. So when they got to the teacher's lounge, Mrs. Whiting said, "I think I'd better listen in and find out what's going on in my classroom." So she turned on the intercom. And sure enough, her room was in chaos. She could hear children yelling and jumping and throwing things, but one little voice shrieked out above all the rest in the uproar. Mrs. Whiting recognized that piercing voice, and she picked up the microphone and in her sternest, darkest teacher voice said, "Elizabeth, sit down." And immediately the room fell silent. And after a few seconds, a small, humble, meek voice answered, "Okay, God." The teachers knew about making good use of intercoms and microphones, but little Elizabeth could think of only one explanation for a voice coming from out of nowhere and calling her by name. In little Elizabeth's mind, the voice had to be the voice of God. What do we really know about God? We believe in God, but, well, we have some unanswered questions. What does it mean when we sing, "Holy, holy, holy, merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity"? And when Jesus ascended, where did he go? And where exactly is heaven? Questions. Anyone who puts their mind to the subject of faith has questions. Think about the gospel lesson for today from John's gospel. Jesus is speaking to his disciples when he says to them, "I still have many things to say to you, but you can't handle it now." That's interesting, don't you think? The disciples were not ready to receive what Jesus had to give. And I think that's probably true of all of us. Lee Iacocca once said, "It's a good thing God doesn't let you see a year or two into the future because you might be tempted to shoot yourself." But God's charitable and only lets you see one day at a time. When times get tough, there's no choice except to take a deep breath, carry on, and do the best you can. It's an interesting thought from Iacocca. And I think Lee Iacocca was probably right. Some things are better left unknown. Some of us think we would like to have the gift of knowing the future, but do we really want to know? Most of us probably would rather not know. And it's the same with our knowledge of God. God has chosen to show us just a glimpse of who God is, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But we have other questions, unavoidable questions. There is undoubtedly a reason for that. Jesus said that his disciples couldn't handle some of the things he was able to tell them. There's a good reason we don't know everything about God, and I think that's by God's design, so that we have faith. So that faith can take root and grow from within us. You see, faith and knowledge are very different. Knowledge is facts, repeatable experiments that result in the same outcome each time they are performed. There's familiarity, there's awareness or understanding gained through experiences or study. But commitment to faith in God is different. Amy Grant puts it like this in one of her songs. Faith is being sure of what we hope for, certain of what we do not see. Faith is being sure of what we hope for, and anyone is welcome to believe. But there's something else we should see. We don't know everything about God, but we know everything about God that we need to know. The scriptures assure us of that. We know enough for us to have faith in the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Comforter. We know that God created everything that lives and moves and exists. We know that God loves us and sent the only Son to die for us. We know the power of resurrection. We know that God is with us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's all we really need to know. After all, we're not saved by our knowledge, but by our faith through God's grace. And that's good. If we were saved by the power of our intellect, well, some of us would be at a real disadvantage. So what? Well, Micah 6:6-8, it gives us the so what by posing a question and then answering the question. How can I stand up before God and show proper respect to the high God? Should I bring an armload of offerings topped off with yearling calves? Would God be impressed with thousands of rams with buckets and barrels of olive oil? Would God be moved if I sacrificed my firstborn child, my precious baby, to cancel my sin? But God's already made it plain how to live, what to do, what God is looking for in women and men. It's quite simple. Do what is fair and just to your neighbor. Be compassionate and loyal in your love. And don't take yourself too seriously. Take God seriously. Take God seriously. Allow the triune God to be the engineer of the testimonies of your lives. Tony Campolo says that since he was a teenager, he has been a member of the Mount Carmel Baptist Church, an African American congregation in West Philadelphia. And once a year, Mount Carmel has Student Recognition Day. On one of those Sundays, there were more than 20 college and university students sitting on the first two rows of the front of the sanctuary. And the pastor looked at them with great pride and great affection, and he called them one by one to come forward and tell the congregation what they were studying and what they hoped to become. And one young man said, "I'm studying at Harvard University, and I'm going to be a lawyer." And grandparents across the church family responded with delight. Oh, my, my, yes, yes. Thank you, Jesus. Another student said, "I'm studying engineering at MIT." And again, there were responses of approval, and there was the clapping of hands. And a young woman announced, "I'm studying music at Juilliard." And grandmothers and grandfathers all over that congregation were saying, "Wonderful, wonderful, good, good. Thank you, Jesus." And Capolo says that you may think that you've heard great music, but you haven't heard the greatest music, until you hear about 40 or 50 grandmothers and grandfathers moaning and groaning, the moans and groans of joy because their grandchildren are becoming what America never let them become. And then, as always, after all the students have finished their brief presentations and are sitting there bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, the pastor gets up, looks right at them, and in this stern, loud voice declared, "Children, you're going to die. That's right, you're going to die. You don't think you're going to die. You can't even imagine dying right now, but one of these days they're going to take you out to the cemetery, put you in a grave, throw dirt on your face, and then go back to the church and eat potato salad." And the black preacher continued, "When you were born, you were the only one who cried. Everybody else was happy. That's not what's important, because here's what's important. When you die, will you be the only one who's happy, and will everybody else cry?" He says, "It depends on what you're living for. Are you trying to get titles, bachelor's degrees, master's degrees, doctor's degrees? Is that what your life is all about, collecting titles, or is it about collecting testimonies?" Well, that's black preaching at its best. It's got rhythm. It's got music, it's got poetry, and the black pastor kept saying it over and over again, "Titles are testimonies, titles are testimonies." And then he did what only a black preacher can do. He swept through the Bible in 5 minutes. White preachers can't do that. We get too bogged down. This man swept from Genesis to Revelation in one majestic run of words, and he said Pharaoh had a title, ruler of Egypt. Now that's a good title, but when it was over, that's all Pharaoh had, a title. He had the title, but Moses had the testimonies. Then the pastor turned up the power a little. There was Queen Jezebel, good title, queen. She was going to destroy Elijah, the prophet of God, but when it was all over, all Jezebel had was a title. She had the title, but Elijah had the testimony. And then there was King Darius, good title, king. He threw Daniel into the lion's den, but when it was all over, all he had was a title. Darius had the title, but Daniel, and then the congregation came back at him, but Daniel had the testimonies. And the pastor went on, rhythmically chanting, and the people responded with joy and clapped their hands. And then the pastor looked down at those two rows of young people saying, "When it's all over for you and they lay you in the grave, what will you have? Do you want a tombstone with all your titles? Or do you want people standing around your grave giving testimonies about how you loved them, how you cared for them in the name of God, and how you made a difference in their lives?" And the black pastor finished by saying, "I wish for you both titles and testimonies. But if you have to make a choice, you go for the testimonies." What do we really know about the triune God? Actually, we know very little. But what we do know is enough to transform our lives. The truth is that our greatest need is not to know more, but to be able to trust more. And we all know this is true. "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus," says the old hymn, and it is sweet to trust. And experience has taught us that it is also the very best way to live, to trust in Jesus. Babbie Mason puts it this way in her song titled, "Trust His Heart." God is too wise to be mistaken. God is too good to be unkind. So when you don't understand, when you don't see God's plan, when you can't trace God's hand, trust God's heart. Great advice. You see, faith is being sure of what we hope for, certain of what we do not see. Faith is being sure of what we hope for, and anyone is welcome to believe. What do you believe about God? Jesus said, I have still many things to say to you, but you cannot handle it now. If you believe that God loves you so much that God sent the only Son to die for you, that's all you really need to know. And Jesus Christ did not abandon us, but in His great love for us, sends the Holy Spirit as our companion to lead us as we make the testimonies of our lives. Amen.